We're in the book of Psalms. We're in the Psalms. If you want to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, it'll also be up on the screens, to Psalm 68. And this is another great psalm. They're all great, but it's so jam-packed and so much content that I had to split it up into 2 weeks. So this is part one, week one, of Victory and Deliverance. What a great psalm this is going to be. Another psalm of David. And it is actually a song or a psalm connected to the previous psalm we looked at, which was 67 last week, and the one we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, 69. They're all kind of connected in this last section of the book two of the Psalms, of the five books of the Psalms. And this section here of book two, Psalm 68 included, it talks about how God saves, how he saves his people. We're going to see in this cluster of psalms, God's ultimate plan is for the saving, the salvation, the deliverance of his people Israel, but also all peoples. There is an ultimate plan that God has that is laid out in the entirety of the Bible, that God wants to bring all of his creation back to him. That includes his people Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, but it also includes the entire world. Now, Psalm 68 is a song of triumph. You know, some psalms are pretty down and depressing. You know, David's in the pit, kind of speak. But this one is a song of triumph. This is where we remember Israel's past, victorious past, where God has delivered Israel. Now, Israel has been in some predicaments, but God has delivered them out of everything, and it's been miraculous. It's been supernatural. And the psalm is very long. Like I said, we're going to break it up into 2 weeks. This week, we're going to look at how God has physically delivered Israel. Next week, we're going to look at how God has spiritually delivered Israel. But a lot of the remembrance, we're, you know, when we look forward with the Lord sometimes, many times, we have to also look back to see where we've been and to remember the ways that God has delivered us, to remind ourselves that he's still in that business of delivering us even today and in the future. And so we read specifically here in the physical deliverance of Israel, there is echoes, and you're going to see this as we go through the psalm, of the wilderness experience, how they went through the Exodus. And throughout, we're going to be seeing, throughout Psalm 68, this week and next week, I want you to catch the prophetic things that we're going to be talking about. These are messianic, prophetic elements where they point us directly to Yeshua the Messiah. Even as we explore the past of Israel, the deliverance God has given them, we see the elements of the Messiah, the Mashiach, coming clearly through to us. So let's begin now. Psalm 68, I'll start with the first three verses this morning. God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so shall you drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Do you feel that you have God's joy today? I hope you feel that way. Sometimes we don't feel that way, and that's okay too. But the Bible tells us the righteous shall be glad. And we begin this psalm with David, the author of the psalm, reminding people. We need reminders in our lives. We need to remember what has taken place so we can remember what will be. And really, we need to remember what God has done for us. It's good to remind ourselves. Verse 1 starts off with this familiar refrain, God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered. We've heard this before, right? Where have I heard that before? I can't place that. Well, we say it in our liturgy for Saturday morning every single day. We begin our Torah service with these words. It's actually a paraphrase of Psalm 68. But the actual words we say every week, very similar to this psalm, is in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. Let's go there. In Torah, we read in Numbers 10, 35, and whenever the ark set out, Moses said, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. So we open up our psalm, putting the focus, and rightly so, on God. And remembering this great moment in the history when God's enemies were scattered and God went before. And so we come then to verses 2 and 3. And again, there's this familiar refrain that happens. There's this familiar theme that we have. And the theme is in 1, 2, and 3 that the wicked will perish and the righteous will flourish. It's very simple, right? Do good and you will be right, counted as righteous, and you will flourish ultimately. And do bad, do wicked, do evil, and you are going to perish. We see this idea. We see this universal concept throughout the Bible. This is not just in Psalm 68. It's not just in Torah when he says your enemies will be scattered. But it's all throughout the Bible. I'm just going to point out a couple of verses for us. Proverbs, the great book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Okay? Righteous flourishing, wicked perishing. 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want to be with the Lord to where he is, his face is shining upon us, as we read last week in Psalm 67, where we're counted as righteous, where we're doing righteous things, and he is blessing us. I do not want to be in the other category, where the face of God is against me. I don't think anybody wants that, but yet people still do these wicked things in life. But we see this familiar theme. The wicked will perish, the righteous will flourish. Now let's continue in Psalm 68, because David goes on with this theme here of remembering and looking back. Verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, talking about the righteous. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. You can see the familiar wicked and righteous refrain in this, can you not? God is continuing to kind of tell us, remind us that he's going to bring us when we think that nothing is going right. You know, in this world today, we can feel like, no, that's not how it's going, right? The wicked are flourishing. It feels like that sometimes in the world today. But we know, biblically speaking and ultimately speaking, the wicked will perish and the righteous will flourish. And God is showing us these different ways. He's a father of the fatherless. He's a protector of widows. And he leads out prisoners to prosperity. He led us out. Now, as we start getting into this, we can kind of see this familiar imagery of the wilderness experience, the 40 years in the Exodus. That great event that happened in the book of Exodus, which we're in now through our Torah readings. And of course, we have the children of Israel taken out of Egypt through 10 miraculous plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The wickedness of the Egyptians has come upon them, okay? And these 10 plagues devastate the country. Israel comes out miraculously. They come out to travel through the desert on the way to the promised land. This is the scene of the book of Exodus. And this Exodus event is so monumental, and we have to remember it because it happens all the time. When God repeats something, you should take notice of it. He repeats about this situation, this story, this event all through the Bible. It permeates the entire Bible. We're coming into the season of Passover, where we recount this, where we were slaves in Egypt and we were brought out with a miraculous hand and with 10 miraculous plagues. But this idea of from slavery to freedom is everywhere. We see it in the spiritual sense. But first, God wants to remind us in Psalm 68 of the physical sense, the physical deliverance that God actually historically did do this for Israel. We have to remember this. Verse 4, it says, he, God, who rides through the deserts. The idea is that God was with us even in the midst of the wilderness. We could not have survived alone in the wilderness. We need food and water to survive, you know, after I don't know how many days. But in the desert where there was none of that, God miraculously provided water from a rock in a miraculous way, and manna and quail that just dropped from the sky for Israel. He provided miraculously for them while they were in this desert land. And the whole idea, and we talk about this within Judaism, is God is always with Israel. He's even with the people of Israel in their exile. It is said that when they went into exile to Babylon, he was with them. When they were in the midst of the wilderness where they could not take care of themselves and there was certain death, God was with them in the midst. He rides through the deserts with them. Verse 6, he leads out the prisoners to prosperity. This is, again, Hashem leading Israel out from bondage as a prisoner. They were prisoners in Egypt to freedom from Egypt towards the promised land. Now we're going to continue with this theme. Psalm 68, verses 7 through 10. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. So we first read about how they're coming out of Egypt. He's with them in the desert. But then it doesn't stop there. They don't just go around the desert aimlessly. Well, they do aimlessly wander, but that's their own fault. But they don't just wander without God. And there's other events that happen to them while they're in the wilderness. And God is now recounting this here. The big event, of course, is, first of all, that God goes before them. We saw this. But they come to this important place, Mount Sinai, in the desert. It's in the desert. In the midst of the desert, they come to this mountain. Now, when we start off with God always goes before us, he was always there with Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, 7 and 8. You know, they could have lost hope after they miraculously came out of Egypt. Because, you know, it's almost like, hey, they lived happily ever after, and then the desert, right? You think, where God, what's going on? We kind of almost think in our minds, and we want the story to be, they step out of Egypt, and immediately they step into the promised land. And there's milk and honey, and everything's great. But there was this in-between time of 40 years. Of desert life, where they could not survive. But God was with them. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. It is easy for us to be dismayed today when we're in a desert of this life, when we're in the wilderness, when we're out there and it doesn't seem like anything is going right. It doesn't seem like God is around us. It seems like very much a parched desert land. But what we have to remember, what the Bible teaches us, reminding us, is God was with them in that desert land. And just as God is with them in that desert land, God is with you and I today. Have to remember that, in our desert land, so to speak. And he continues this for the Jewish people as we move throughout history. I'll just quickly go to Isaiah chapter 52, 11 and 12. Isaiah prophesies also in this way. Now in chapter 52, the prophet is talking about how Israel had sinned later on in their history after they got into the promised land. They sinned during the time of Isaiah the prophet, which was 2,700 years ago, so many hundreds of years after they left Egypt. But what's cool about Isaiah and a lot of these books in the Bible is it talks about the current state of Israel, and it also talks about a future state. So we have to understand that the Bible is this amazing book where we can read about the past, Psalm 68, we can read about the present, Isaiah's time in Isaiah 52, but also about the future. Isaiah 52, 11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go with you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. It's the same imagery and language that God had for them when they were in the desert, that he has for them when they are in the sin that they were in, the situation they found themselves in later on with Isaiah. And the same even applies today for Israel. We have to look at these words where God will go before us and the God will go behind us. We see this a lot. Of course, I want to just stop really quickly and talk about Isaiah 52 because this passage, as I mentioned, is prophetic. Isaiah 52 and 53, this passage also, in the midst of reminding Israel what God has done for them, he introduces this suffering servant in Isaiah 53, the anointed one, the Mashiach, who saves Israel from their sins. And of course, we see Yeshua the Messiah here. You see, that salvation, that deliverance is all wrapped up in how God is taking them and bringing them with him. Now, if we go back to Psalm 68 and we come to verse 8, back to verse 8, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain. Okay? When we look at that, it reminds us in the wilderness when they came to Mount Sinai and they received the Torah. In the midst of their wilderness journey, they come to Mount Sinai. And we see physical and supernatural things happening at Sinai. Last week was the Torah portion of Sinai, and we saw and we read all of these things. But just one thing in here, Psalm 68, the verse says, the earth was quaking, shaking like an earthquake. Exodus 19, 16, in the morning on the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. At Sinai, there was physical, earth-shaking things that were going on. It's pretty amazing when you study in depth what was going on there. Again, in the midst of their wilderness journey, God was with them there. And then in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 68, after we get to this revelation from God, this where God meets Israel, God reveals himself in this powerful and masterful way, we see in verses 9 and 10 this idea then of right after that, abundance and inheritance is what the wording says in Psalm 68. And this is the thing. In the midst of the wilderness comes God, comes revelation, and then abundance and inheritance happen right after that. And one of the things mentioned in this section of the Psalms, or of the Psalm, is rain. And this is no coincidence. Rain is a sign of outpouring. Rain is a sign of outpouring from God, blessing from God. It's mentioned twice in both verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 68. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy 11, rain and the idea of what rain represents is throughout the Bible. One of the paragraphs of the Shema that we read every week and every day is chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. I'm going to read a piece of that. Deuteronomy 11, 13 and 14. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And now let's go to the book of Hebrews. Just one other example about rain and what it represents biblically. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. This is in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Covenant. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. So the idea of rain is this idea of outpouring or downpouring or blessing that God gives us. We can, of course, spiritualize that, but physically it's true. If we don't have rain, we can't survive. Now, the people back then, when they heard about this, when they saw this, when they experienced this, they would have understood that, right? Because they were farmers. If it didn't rain, they would die. The crops would dry up. There would be no crops. They could not survive without the rain coming and providing physically life for them. We're going to get to the spiritual next week, but physically, they needed the rain. They can't go without the rain. Now, In today's world, I've often said this, we have bottled water we drink, we go to the supermarket for all of our stuff. If it doesn't rain for a little while, oh well. But you know, it actually does matter still, because crops still have to grow. Things still have to come from the ground, and rain still, we still need rain. And if we don't have rain, look at what happens in California periodically with the wildfires when there's no rain. We need rain to survive in life. People need rain. So Psalm 68 is showing us this interconnectedness throughout of God and Israel. And with all of this, with the rain, with the revelation, everything, the only way that Israel can survive is God. God is the one that provides the rain. If God says it doesn't need to rain, it won't rain. But if God decides that it should rain, the rain will pour down, both physically and spiritually for us. So all of this should remind us about what has come up before in history, but also should remind us very strongly that without God, nothing happens. Nothing happens. We would just wither up and die. Psalm 68. Now we get to the last part of the psalm for this part one today. We come to this section here, 11 through 14. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. Now, all of this, first 14 verses of Psalm 68, is a reminder to us. Remembrance, Zachar. So, when we had the beginning part of it, we saw God, we're remembering God delivering them out of slavery in Egypt. Then we went along, continued along in the verses. We remembered how in the wilderness, God was there for them. He was before them and behind them. Then we talked about, in Psalm 68, a remembrance of at Sinai, God revealed himself to us with all of this pomp and circumstance, right? He with lightning and thunder and all of this massive stuff. And then we hear about the rain that's provided. And now we get to 11 through 14, and this represents when Israel goes into the land and what happens in the land. It's all about the Israelites going and conquering the land of Canaan, which was the end goal, which was what God brought them all through to get to in the first place. The kings flee, it says. What is that talking about? These are the nations that were in Canaan at the time. You had the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all the ites. They were scattered. They were taken out by, if you read through the book of Joshua after Torah, we see that they went and they conquered the land and they wiped out all of these peoples and they moved them out of the land so that they could go in and take the land that God had given them. This section has all of this beautiful imagery about Israel going into the land, women of Israel dividing the spoil. Men of Israel among the sheepfolds. I remember the language. I'm thinking about it. It's coming to me right now when it talks about how you're going to take their vineyards. You're going to take their homes. Basically, they went in and it wasn't like they had to start from scratch. All the peoples had already had all these things and they were able to utilize it and dividing the spoils among the sheepfolds is the language that we have here. Blessing, inheritance, abundance for Israel when they came into the land that God had given them. But as we close today, there's one thing I want to point out, and we're going to again see this next week too. But this is the prophetic that we also see in verses 11 through 14. The prophetic, the foreshadowing, messianic foreshadowings. Remember, this was written 3,000 years ago, this psalm. It was written 3,000 years ago. And this was 1,000 years before Yeshua walked on the face of the earth. So Psalm 68 was written much before Yeshua. And what we read in verse 11 of Psalm 68 is, women announce news. What does this mean? Well, if you turn with me to the book of Luke, in the Brit Chadashah, we see this passage of Luke where it's the end of the book, the end of the gospel, and Yeshua has been crucified. He's been killed. Okay? And now let's pick up the story. Luke 23, we'll begin with verse 54, and we'll go all the way through verse 3 of 24, of chapter 24. Luke 23, 54. It was the day of preparation, and the Shabbat was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On Shabbat, they rested according to the commandment. Verse 1, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Yeshua. Amazing sight here. He was already raised from the dead. So they were looking for Yeshua's body. They did not find it. But here's what happens next. Two angels come and miraculously appear to the women. It's very descriptive here that it's women. And they tell them that Yeshua has risen from the dead. Now let's pick up in verses 9 and 10 of Luke 24 to finish this thought out. Luke 24, verse 9 and 10. And returning from the tomb, they, the women, told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and all the other women with them who had told these things to the apostles. It's very clear that women were the first to see and notice that he had ascended, that he was risen. And they announce the news. And this brings us back to Psalm 68, verse 11. Women announce the news. They're announcing the good news. The word gospel actually is a Greek word, and it means good news. And Psalm 68 totally prophesies about this, how women are going to announce this initially. They're the ones that tell the disciples. And then the disciples start spreading it. So we see this prophetic piece, even though we looked back and we saw all of what God had done for Israel all the way through the promised land. Now we see what God is going to do, the news that he is going to deliver. And prophetically speaking, it's going to be through women, which it was. So this first half of Psalm 68 focuses us, reminds us of the physical deliverance. We need to be reminded. The physical deliverance that God gives Israel, it's a reminder to you and I today that no matter what stage of the wilderness experience you and I are in, some of us may feel like we're in Egypt right now, like in slavery, in bondage, maybe a situation you're going through in your life and you just feel that. Well, God was with them there. Some of us have moved through and we're now in the wilderness journey and we're just relying on God every day for food and drink to survive, right? That could be where we are, but God is with us there. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you're at the foot of Sinai and you're just enjoying God speaking to you and he's thundering things to you. Maybe you're at that season of your life. God is with us there. And maybe you're at the season where you've kind of gone into a little bit of the promised land and you've seen God's goodness and how he's delivered you out of things and you're reminded that God is also with you there. But wherever you and I are today, and it can change from day to day, our situation, our circumstances, the things going on in our lives. But the point of all this is we remember that throughout, God is always with us. So today, the encouragement for you and I is no matter where we are, that the Lord is with us and he is our deliverer. Let us always remind ourselves of that and let's go to him in prayer. God of Israel, You frequently, Lord, revealed yourself to us as the God who delivered us out of Egypt. Lord, we recognize who you are. We're going to be remembering that during our Seder. We have the Seder with all of its elaborate stuff that we do, and the whole point is to remind us, so we remember what happened to our forefathers in Egypt, so we can recall it and remember how God miraculously delivered them and how he delivers us even today. Lord, I pray even today that you would deliver your people from all the anti-Semitism going on in the world, from all the tribulation and stuff going on in Israel right now. Deliver your people, redeem your people, reveal yourself to your people, Lord God. We pray for that. And Lord, continue to be with all of us today. We thank you, God, because you'll never leave us or forsake us. And you remind us in Psalm 68 and throughout all of Scripture that you are there with us. We thank you, God. We praise you for that. And for that, we have exceeding joy. In Yeshua's name, amen.